Shall we pray? Our Father, as we come to this text, this amazing text, we ask that you would apply it to our hearts. Show each of us how we're to respond today to the preaching of your word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We're going through the book of Ephesians, and today our text are these two amazing verses, Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Please let me begin reading with verse 11, but also encourage you to turn to two other texts, Matthew 7, where we read earlier, and 1 John 3. We'll be reading those in a little bit. Matthew 7, 1 John 3. We begin in Ephesians 3, 11. This is God's word. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I'm suffering for you, which is your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. When our kids were small, one of the traditions we had on the way up to Camp Susqua was to stop at Sunset Ice Cream in Williamsport. It was not only the variety of flavors that overwhelmed you, and for me, I could never decide between maple walnut or coffee or rum raisin. It wasn't only the varieties, but it was that it was homemade, and even more than that, they were huge. The scoops were huge. You'd order a small and you'd have scoop after scoop after scoop. I need to get a bowl because the ice cream was so big. If we could use that small little picture, this is what the Apostle Paul is doing here. Scoop after scoop after scoop of the bigness of God's promises to assure us that God intends to answer the prayers of his children. It's in the context of, it's been building up from Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1 is the glories, the wonders of your salvation from eternity past, the triune God and his great love for you and bringing you to himself. Chapter 2 is the wonders that even though we were dead without hope, but God and his great grace has saved us. And even though we're exiled from the people of God, but God has restored now even Gentile believers into the one church of Christ. And that's been building up to chapter 3, the wonders of the all-wise God. And chapter 3 includes then even the wonders of the love of Christ that are immeasurable. You will never be able to begin to plumb it or understand how much Christ loves you. That's what's been building. And now Paul just erupts with joy, praise to God. Can you imagine knowing this God? Can you imagine being able to pray to this God? And he scoops, scoop after scoop after scoop, so that we might know two things. First of all, the wonder that God answers prayer. And secondly, the assurance that God answers prayer. First of all, five scoops of the wonder that God answers prayer. We'll look at the scoops one at a time, and we'll start with the most basic, which is itself enough. It's a wonderful promise, the wonder of answered requests. He will give you what you ask for. And that's in the context, you see, back up to verses 11 and 12. All those who have put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have great boldness, verse 12, to enter into the presence of God. That's the idea, without any fear. You have confidence. The idea there is no restrictions, building boldness, access, confidence. There's not just one word to stress this. Paul says, you as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ have been reconciled to God. You have every confidence. Come and present your request to him. In verse 16, these are all according to the riches of his glory. According to the riches of his glory. not out of his wealth, but according to his wealth. And we use the illustration, you remember, if Donald Trump saw a beggar and he gave him $5, that's out of his wealth. But if he saw this beggar and he gave him according to his wealth, he would give him riches. And God's assurance is, you come through the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness, and he will answer you the desires of your heart according to the riches of his glory. That's the first scoop, the wonder of answered prayer. This is a theme. The Lord Jesus has already given that to us. Look at Matthew 7. We'll come back here to Ephesians, but look at Matthew 7:7-11. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and to the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Did you count up the number of times you're told to ask? 7 times. Ask, and it will be given to you. To every believer, you will not be disappointed. God will not tease you. You bring your request, you're asking for bread. He's not going to give you a stone. And it closes with, make this comparison. Imagine the most kind father you can imagine. The most merciful father you can imagine. The most lavish father you can imagine. He is no comparison to the infinite God that you come before, who is willing and wanting to answer your prayers. Come with all confidence. Psalm 84:11, no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. It's precious to the Lord when we call on him. Psalm 50:15. The Lord longs to be gracious to you. Isaiah 30:15. Mark 11:24. Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it. It's the aorist tense, a completed action. It's not future. It's not contingent. Believe that you have it. Some of the editors and translations thought, well, it can't be that strong. It can't be that big of a promise. And so some of the editors put it into the future. You will receive. But it's not the best translation. No, you believe that you have it. God intends to answer the prayers of his children. Matthew Henry said, all the compassions of all the tender fathers in the world compared with the tender mercies of our God would be but as a candle to the sun or a drop to the ocean. God is more rich, more ready to give to his children than the fathers of our flesh can be. Turn to 1 John 3. 1 John 3:21. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. Proverbs 5:13. I've written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we've asked from him. This is the confidence we have. It's only for believers. Verse 13, you notice, it's those who are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, who've made the first prayer, God be merciful to me, a sinner, and been reconciled to God, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. But then as a believer, verse 14 follows, this is the confidence that you have, every believer. If you abide in my words, ask whatever you wish, it will be done for you. John 15:7. Spurgeon's illustration was, prayer is like God's checkbook. God has signed his name. The promises of Scripture are given to you, already made out. And you cash these in, the promises of God. This is the qualification that we have. Come and ask according to his will, whatever's according to his will, the Scriptures, he will give. That little qualification, according to his will, according to the Scriptures, is not to discourage you. It's not to say, well, I'm not sure if this is the Scripture or not. It's not to discourage you from asking, it's just to slow you down. Is this according to Scripture? Have you meditated on this? Have you reflected on the request you're bringing? Come with confidence. The promise is that he will hear you. When it says that he will hear you, it's not just like sometimes a parent is just listening, but they're not really hearing. No, when it says that God hears you, it's the idea he intends to answer you. As Jesus said, I know that my Father, you always hear me, John 11:41. 1 John 5:15, if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we've asked of him, and it's in the present tense. We have, it's yours. It's to be certain of this. The hymn writer says, what a privilege we have to carry everything to God in prayer. What is your prayer life like? I know that I am preaching much further down the road than I've ever walked, and perhaps we all feel that way. G. Campbell Morgan said on his deathbed, I've written too much and prayed too little. The first scoop is the wonder of answered prayers. That's at a scoop. You see it in Ephesians 3:20. What's bigger than answered prayers? The wonder of answered prayers and wishes. Whatever you can imagine. The desires of the heart that if you could just dream. I don't know if it's God's will or not. But oh, this is the wish of my heart. How big are those wishes? How big are those desires? Oh, Father, I don't know if it's your will or not, but I would pray that ISIS, the leaders of ISIS, would turn to Christ. Oh, the wishes of my heart, that there would be revival in our country, that, or maybe it's the desires of your own heart that are too personal, you don't even dare express them. The scripture is saying, what could you imagine? That's added on to all the requests, even the dreams. Sometimes we don't even know what our heart wants, do we? Sometimes we don't even know what we're desiring. But here's the scripture, Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. He who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle, Psalm 103:4. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry. He saves them, Psalm 145:19. Remember what the psalmist said in Psalm 56:5, knowing that God knows all of our struggles, all of the desires of our heart. How did he put it? He said, God puts even my tears into his bottle. God knows every one of our tears. God knows every one of your desires. You don't even know how to express them. The promise is here. What could you imagine? Is there somebody on your heart that you, desire that they would come to know Christ? Maybe it's something you've longed for a long time. Maybe you've been praying for a friend, confidant. Maybe it's been a prayer that you desire to marry. Maybe it's a prayer that you desire that your marriage would improve. Maybe there's been a disappointment in your life. Maybe there's a struggle in your life that just goes on and on and on. Decisions you need to make. Desire, how could God use me in his kingdom? What are your desires? What are the possible things that you could imagine? That's what's listed here. God says in his word, the wonder of answered prayer and requests, the wonder of answered wishes, desires. Let's add a third scoop. How is this increased? You see the text, verse 20? It's all that we could ask or imagine. Not just 50%. Not just a majority. That you be emboldened to ask that he will give you all that's best for you. All that will glorify him. All the desires of your heart. Third scoop is all. The Lord longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion. Blessed are all those who wait for him. Isaiah 30:18. Psalms 27:13. I'm still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Take heart. Wait for the Lord. Psalm 34:8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Prayer is not conquering God's reluctance. It's laying hold of his willingness. The wonder that God answers prayer. First scoop, the wonder of answered prayer. That'd be big enough. Second, the wonder of answered wishes. Third, the wonder of all wishes and requests. Fourth scoop, it's more than all. You see it in the text. It's more than all you could ask or imagine. some of the translations have tried to put it, it's more or above. It's, how can you describe that? It's not only all of your requests and wishes, but it's more than all of your requests and wishes. Isn't it true that every believer, as the years go by, you look back and you, yes, the Lord has brought you through times of trial. Yes, he's brought you through disappointments. But as you look back, you have seen that God's ways for you, God's love for you is far more than you could have imagined. Far more than what we've deserved. No believer has ever outwished God's promises. You've never overdrawn God's bank account. Never. God said to Israel, Psalm 81:10, I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. I've saved you. I've redeemed you. Now be like that little bird and open your mouth wide. I will come and fill it. I'm coming to provide for you more than all you could ask or imagine. I will fill it. Newton said in his hymn, none can ever ask too much. Our thoughts of God are all too small for all of us. God's promises are like a bridge with no weight limit. No one's ever walked onto this bridge with too much weight. No one can ever put too much expectations upon the promises of God. Spurgeon said it well. No man ever believed God as much as he might be believed, or trusted his promise so implicitly as he might do, nor put so large a construction upon the divine word as it would bear. Oh, brethren, we have to thank God that he's not bounded by our narrow faith, but goes beyond what we believe concerning him. There is a meaning in the covenant promises, a breadth, a length, a height, a depth, not compassed yet. God condescends to use human language, and to us the words mean silver, but he uses them in a golden sense. He never means less than what he says, but he always means far more than what we think he says. He never means less than what he says, but he always means far more than what we think he says. More than all your wishes and desires. There's a fifth scoop. Do you see the fifth scoop in verse 20? It's the wonder of exceedingly abundantly more than all your wishes or requests. Exceedingly abundantly. Paul has to make up a word here. He's coining a word. He's adding a superlative to a superlative. He starts with the word over and above, and then he adds two prefixes, completely and more beyond. More beyond, completely, over and above. Lloyd-Jones tries to translate it, who is able to do above all things, to do exceedingly abundantly, beyond all, exceedingly abundantly. However you translate it, the idea is there's no limits. You cannot outthink how God would show his mercy and his love to you in answering your prayers. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, because everyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Hebrews 11, verse 6. You say this sounds awfully presumptuous. Well, it would be presumptuous if it was our words. But these are God's words. Exceedingly, abundantly, more than all you could ask or imagine. It's not presumptuous to come to God with his words. Our prayers so often are more like asking City Hall to reassess my property taxes and give me a refund, or to ask the airlines if they would give me a discount, or to ask mom for candy 5 minutes before supper. Were you expecting a yes answer? No, not really. But it doesn't hurt to ask. Prayer in that sense is more like hedging your bets. Did you really expect a yes answer? No, but it doesn't hurt to ask. Richard Sibb says, when you shoot an arrow, we look to its fall. When we send a ship to sea, we look for its return. When we sow, we look for harvest. It is atheism to pray and not to wait in hope. How big is your God? We pray for safe travel, travel mercies, as we say, and there's nothing wrong with that. But we know the statistics, don't we? Statistics are, I can get into that car and I'm a good driver, I'm a defensive driver. I'm probably not going to get in an accident. But it doesn't hurt to ask. Not that we shouldn't pray, we should pray for those things. But isn't that an example that so often our prayers are quite safe? Statistically, it's going to happen anyway. My brother, who works with a Christian ministry in great need of financial resources, himself was challenged. Do you believe God can give us $5? He answered, yes, of course. Do you believe God can give us $50? He saw where this was going. Then do you believe God can give us $5 million? One is the same as the other to the God. He owns it all. Why do we feel that we have to pray only for things that are predictable and safe? It's almost like we have to run our request through an actuary. What are the statistics that this could happen? No, this is too big. This isn't in the realm of asking. Not according to this text. David Howard was a missionary in Colombia, South America, for 14 years. He saw God greatly bless the work there. Many, many people came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. His brother was also a missionary in Canada to the Canadian Indians. He also worked for 14 years as a missionary and saw no conversions. As David in Colombia prayed, he was moved to ask the believers in Colombia to start praying for his brother Phil in Canada and their work in Canada. Quote, maybe our church in Colombia is here to share in the establishment of the church in northern Canada. And that night, 200 Colombian believers prayed for 1.5 hours. And then every morning you would hear in the Colombian village groups of Christians gathering at 5 a.m. praying for God's work in Canada. A few months later, David on furlough met his brother Phil in Canada. And Phil's wife, Margaret, took David aside and said, David, back in April, Phil had reached the lowest point in morale that I've ever seen him in our 14 years in Canada. He was closer to quitting than ever before. Every night he would go to bed discouraged and defeated. He would get up in the morning and drag himself out of bed. He had no joy, no real faith. And after 14 years, he was feeling, what's the use? We might as well quit and go somewhere else. But suddenly, one morning, we awoke totally new. We don't know what happened. We had new joy, new faith, new courage that God would work. And God has begun to work, not in crowds, but ones and twos being converted. And Margaret and David compared calendars and dates. And the turn in the work in Phil's life and the working of the Holy Spirit converting the Canadian Indians was the same night the Colombian Christians went to prayer. Wonder. God answering our prayers. 5 scoops. And that, if that wasn't enough, the text is also giving us, secondly, the assurance of God answering prayer. It's accomplished, you see it, by God's omnipotence, verse 20. And it's for God's glory, verse 21. Prayer is answered by God's omnipotence. It's according to his power that is at work. That's how God answers prayer. Isn't it good news that it's not according to your faith? That would ring very hollow after a little while. it's not according to your faith. It's according to his power that's at work within you. You go back to chapter 119. It's that same power that rose Christ from the dead, who Christ is now ascended in glory, ruling all things. It's that power that's given you the new birth, Ephesians 2, verses 5 and 6. It's that power of the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 3, 17, that's guarding and protecting his church. It's that power that assures you that you can ask whatever you could think or imagine. Jesus said to the blind man, "Do you believe that I am able?" Matthew 9:28. The Capernaum centurion servant, you remember, was paralyzed and suffering. And Jesus said, "I will come," Matthew 8 and verse 5. And the centurion just simply said, "Oh, no, just say the word. My servant will be healed. I'm a man under authority. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes, and I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." And Jesus was astonished. He had not found such faith in Israel. Just say the word. It's your authority. It's the power of God that answers each of these requests. You rest in him, his power, his omnipotence, his promises. And when you do that, the scripture says the evidence will be there will be a joy in your heart. In spite of your circumstances, John 16:24, ask and you will receive and your joy will be complete. And there will be a peace that you cannot explain. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer, present your requests to God, and the peace of God will garrison the Roman guard, your hearts and minds. 1 Peter 5:7, cast your cares upon him. He cares for you. Andrew Murray said, "If there's one thing I think the church needs to learn, is that God means prayer to have an answer, and that it hath not entered into the heart of man to conceive what God will do for his child, who gives himself to believe that his prayer will be heard." God gives you an assurance as you come before him in Christ that he will answer according to the power that's at work, his power. And the second assurance, it's for God's glory, verse 21, and to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. That's another theme of Ephesians. It's the glory. It's used in 5 times in chapters 1, 3 times in this chapter. Everything that God does, it's going to be for his glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. You see, this is not a text for Joel Osteen proof text. Ask whatever you wish and to indulge in your narcissism and self-centeredness. Make a Christmas list as long as you like, and the genie will just come and satisfy your happiness and your spoiled, indulgent, obese self-centeredness. It's not that at all. It's for God's glory. Whatever is going to be for his glory, he will answer. And he will even give us the desire for that. So come, ask all of your requests, all of your desires, and he will give you even more, abundantly more, no, exceedingly abundantly more than all we could ask or imagine, because he's going to do it according to his power, and he's going to do it for his glory. What's your response to a text like this? Maybe for some, if anybody knew the inner parts of your heart, it would be guilt. I have prayed for something, the desires of my heart, for years and years and years, and it's not been answered. There must be something wrong with me. Maybe it's anger. God knows that I've prayed, and I have prayed and prayed, and he has not answered. So I can only conclude he doesn't love me, or he's not listening. Maybe he doesn't exist. What's the use? I'm cashing it all in. And in anger, you walk away. God has not answered my prayers. It would remind us that you interpret the unknown in the light of the known and not the other way around. The known is who God is. The unknown is my trials, my unanswered prayers. I don't know why he hasn't answered my prayers. I don't know why he's brought me this way. I don't know why I have these trials. I don't know why I have these sufferings. I don't know why I've prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and he has not answered. I don't know that. But what I do know is that he is the all-wise God. He has told me nothing will ever separate me from the love of Christ. He has told me that he is able to do far more abundantly than all I could ask or imagine according to the power that's at work within me. That's I know. And I will interpret the unknown in the light of the known. During one of Wilbur Chapman's meetings, a man rose to give this testimony. And this is what the man said, quote, "I got off the Pennsylvania Depot as a tramp. For a year, I begged on the streets for a living. One day, I touched a man on the shoulder and I said, 'Hey, mister, can you give me a dime?' As soon as I saw his face, I was shocked to see that it was my own father. I said, 'Father, do you know me?' Throwing his arms around me with tears, he said, 'Oh, my son, I found you. I found you. A dime. All I have is yours.' And then the man continued, 'Think of it. I was a tramp. I stood begging my own father for 10 cents when for 18 years he'd been looking for me to give me all that he was worth.' You don't come to your heavenly father and ask for a dime. You're coming to a king with great petitions with thee bring. For his grace and power are such that none can ever ask too much. You don't live as a beggar with these promises, believer. Over and above, completely, far beyond. All, more than all we could ask or imagine. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Shall we pray? Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we come before you in awe of such a text and the promises of your love. We cannot wrap our minds around this. We cannot do it. For many of us, the response of our hearts today is just that. It's worship. It's awe. It's the encouragement to keep asking, keep praying. For some, it will be who have been dealing with guilt and anger about these promises and unanswered prayer. It will be for you to shift our vision to not the unanswered prayer, but to the known of who you are and what you've promised. And therefore, we will keep asking. For some, it will realize that only in a relationship with you through Jesus Christ do we have such amazing privileges. Perhaps that would be the day then you bring that one to Christ. Whatever it is, Father, causes all to respond to this text, to go home and apply it to our lives. We ask with all confidence, because this is your will. You've told us whatever we ask according to your will, you hear us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.